You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Also available to listen online if you're driving outside of our broad range of AM FM. Just know that you can go to rightsideradio.org and click listen live. And like we always say, wherever you is, there we is. Hey folks, listen, I got to tell you about my friends too at Otter Creek Farm. Otter Creek Farm, I'm going to be out there again this weekend. Love that place. It's like an oasis in North Alabama, and I say that all the time, but I've spent a lot of time out there, so I can say that. I mean, this is it's a wedding venue. It's a wing shooting destination for like hunting pheasant and quail. It's a great place just to go and have a comfortable dinner. It's also a place where you can stay overnight, take your family, have a corporate retreat, whatever you want to do, but check it out. And when you look at their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com, you will quickly realize why they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Yep. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. It's also the place where Donald Trump Jr. went and stayed overnight not long ago. Kind of quietly, no one realized it, but there he was. Check him out, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Hey, Copper, I put up several clips for you to be ready with up there on the board just to kind of help grease the skids here. But I'm going to move to the next topic. Thank you, I see that. I'm going to move to the next topic on my triple dipper. So we already did the states fighting back, and I can touch back on that again a little bit more as we go along. But I want to talk about now how obvious it is right now that liberals are becoming unraveled. Democrats in general are becoming unraveled, but especially the liberal progressive wing side of the Democrat Party are becoming completely unhinged. And it's obvious because of the way they're lashing out. So we've heard a lot in recent days of things like the FBI, you know, getting weaponized because parents just want to have a say in what's happening with their kids' education. Well, who are these parents? Well, first of all, is it worth it? I think it's worth it. You've got to be willing to. In fact, I'm going to play you a series of clips over the time of this segment we're in right now. But the first one is one that I'm going to repeat very briefly from yesterday. Tucker Carlson said it as best as anybody I've ever heard on this topic about why should we stay in it? Should we just bail on the public school system? No, we shouldn't. We should fight to keep it. Copper, go ahead and play clip 7 for me.
On the other hand, you got to ask yourself, why let the lunatics take control of a system they didn't build? It's not theirs. They don't get to wreck it. Maybe people should stay and fight and take back the schools, which belong to us. They're ours. They don't belong to the teachers' union or the National Association of School Boards, much less Merrick Garland, whoever that is. They belong to us, American citizens. Now, the backdrop to all of this is the people you just saw are now designated as criminals by the Biden administration.
They are designated as criminals. But the schools are worth fighting for. Our society is worth fighting for. It's worth staying in the mix, all right? Do not let them have it. It's not theirs. This is, you know, the whole thing about shutting down society, about declaring your business non-essential, about the idea that your kids at 2 years old are being required to wear masks. 2 years old. You know, the nut jobs that want your two-year-old to wear a mask on an airplane, even though that two-year-old doesn't even know how to keep their shoes on, much less a mask. You've got situations like, concerts being canceled or entertainers who won't come unless it's proof that everyone there has been vaccinated. Well, you're up on the stage making millions of dollars. Shut up and sing your song. But all said and done, folks, there is a whole lot worth fighting for, and we got to stay in the mix on this. But they're becoming more and more unhinged, all right? So one of the things that's classic evidence of this is the fact that, once again, they're lashing out. It's who they're telling us we are. Who are these people? How dare they? MSNBC, that's right. I'm going to MSNBC. Stay with me. MSNBC. What's this guy's name? Is it analyst Clint Watts is on there. It's called MSNBC's Deadline White House, all right? The guest host was Jason Johnson, who sounds like an activist when you hear him talk. But he's on there talking about who are these people that are showing up at these school board meetings? Are they white nationalists? Well, we also had, you'll be interested to know, and here's part of the reason why I've got this, because one of the commentators on the show with him right then was a former U.S. attorney and now a professor at the University of Alabama Law School, Joyce Vance, who opined, by the way, that it appears to be a mental health issue causing lots of problems at these school board meetings. I tell you what, Copper, clip four is going to be this MSNBC host sort of introducing, and by the way, trigger alert, people, just go ahead and brace yourselves. All you right side ruffians, you're going to want to, like, you know, take up pitchforks and torches here in a minute, but just go with me. Copper, play clip four.
To me, this sort of rise in violence that we're seeing in schools, it's just a reflection of a rise in violence that we're seeing all over the country. We're seeing it in schools. We're seeing it in grocery stores. We're seeing it on airplanes. To me, is this really about people being upset about mask mandates? Or are there sort of underlying disruptive forces, white nationalists, anarchists, whatever, in this country that are using mask mandates and a public health crisis to sort of wage chaos?
Oh, there you go. It's the white nationalists. It's those white nationalists. It's those dirty racists that are. It's those people out there, you know, claiming that the mask mandate is what they're after, but they're really doing is they're white nationalists and they're trying to create discord in society. What a bunch of crap! How'd that guy get on TV? And I look at this once in a while, and I think I was sitting there watching the news with Charlene one day, and I looked at somebody who was on there, and I said, how did that person get on TV? How do they even find these people? What makes that person an expert on anything? Well, this guy's hosting the show on MSNBC, but he's hosting the show, and I'm thinking, how do you get on there knowing full well that with a straight face, you're about to claim that all the parents who went down to a school board meeting concerned about masks on their children for 8 hours a day, or for that matter, concerned that there weren't masks on their children because they wanted to speak to that too, that happens too. Or for that matter, they go down to the school board meeting to find out about critical race theory, which literally was in curriculum being used in Mountain Brook, and the parents got it taken out. It's still in the Huntsville City school system, and no one has gone to the school board to take care of that one yet. But I'm just saying, they're not white nationalists. They're moms and dads and grandparents and legal guardians who just actually have a legitimate right, a responsibility, a need to make sure their kids are okay and that education for their kids is not something that the government decides. It's what the parents decide. And Copper, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. I'm sorry. Go ahead and get clip five ready next. I want to do clip five before I go on to anything else, because clip five is Joyce Vance, who is a University of Alabama law professor, a former U.S. attorney. And she is literally on this same show with old boy who was talking about white nationalists, and she is opining that perhaps it's actually more of a mental health issue that's going on. I see you got it ready for Copper. Thank you. Go ahead and play clip five, Joyce Vance.
Has become a locus for violence. How does that end up trickling down to what is and is not taught and possibly trickling up to higher level educators like yourself?
Well, the focus that this brings to education is something that we're not used to having. I think you're absolutely right about that, Jason. And one has to wonder how this trickled out. Will school boards become far more careful, far more hesitant to do things that are brave and bold in terms of education initiatives? Right now, we're talking about issues that involve school boards and how they're competing in this new marketplace of ideas that exists after the Trump administration. But that could have far-reaching implications. It certainly has spun out in some areas with bans on teaching critical race theory, which of course impacts the work that both you and I do and helps us understand how policy developed in the wake of American racism and what we can do to improve policy in the future as school boards are challenged, for instance, over issues of whether critical race theory can be taught in our schools. That too becomes a flashpoint. And I would add to what Clint says, the fact that we're living in the middle of a perfect storm. We have not only this eruption, this not so much an eruption, but a normalization of some of the white supremacist ideology that we've seen emerging and some of the conspiracy theories that we've seen emerging. We also have a country that, to be honest, is not at its best mental health-wise 18 months into a pandemic. And those issues are crashing together now. That's very much what we're seeing. We're going to have some form of a national health restorative mission in this country to right-size things and get them back to normal.
All right, stop it. Stop it. I can't stand it anymore. Copper, I see you're triggered. You all right? You okay over there?
No, I'm not all right. So that's going to be the next way that they advocate brainwashing. Oh, it's for mental health.
We got a national mental health issue that's going to have to be restored to bring us back to some form of normative behavior. That's what I'm hearing from her. And then she went on to just talk about, I mean, did you hear that stuff, Copper? I mean, the fact that she says at one point, I got my quote right here. It is spun out, these white, you know, wingers, the right, right wingers, these racists that are spinning out, she says, into some areas with bans on teaching critical race theory, which she says, which of course impacts the work that both you and I do and helps us to understand how policy developed in the wake of American racism and what we can do to improve policy in the future as school boards are challenged and whether we can have critical race theory taught in our schools. What? So this, by the way, and if you missed it, by the way, that was Joyce Vance. She is a professor of law, a former U.S. attorney at the University of Alabama Law School, on MSNBC, basically saying that all of you parents who are going out to the school boards and speaking on behalf of your children and exercising your First Amendment rights as American citizens, that you apparently have mental health issues and you might be part of the broader narrative of white supremacist ideology, and that critical race theory is important in order to gain a better understanding in the wake of American racism about how we can improve policy in our school boards. Shut up. That's just awful. But folks, what I'm saying here, and we're going to move into this short break, but I'm going to come back and unpack this for you some more, is that liberals are coming unhinged. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you how stuff like this, what I just played for you and what we just talked about, the stuff that just like triggered Copper and she's like ready to grab the umbrella man again and take him down to the sidewalk, is literally, it's causing their poll numbers to plummet. And there's cause to hope that their overreach, their freak show, is going to lead us into a good thing come 2022 elections. Talk more about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, folks, so listen, here's the thing. We've got a situation going on right now with Democrats coming unraveled, all right? Part of the reason they're coming unraveled, well, the main reason they're coming unraveled is because their policies are failing everywhere. I am looking, where'd it go? Here it is. I'm looking on Twitter right now. Posted just in the last 20 minutes. It says right here, the average Alabama gas price in October of 2020, how much? Copper, what do you think? The average gallon of gas in October 20, a year ago, what was it?
Oh, $2.60.
No, girl. $1.89 a gallon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. The average Alabama gas price in October 2021, $2.92 a gallon. Mm. So we are up over a dollar a gallon under Biden inflation. And that's on his watch, by the way. And then on top of that, you've got overall 5.3%, I think, overall inflation. You've got a situation, I saw it earlier, just right before I came on the air. Cavuto was doing something, kind of running down the list of things that have gone up. There's a 17% increase in the cost of bacon. That infuriates me.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon.
I noticed that.
Oh, so have you really? Are you a bacon person?
I mean, who isn't a bacon person, honestly?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, unless
Thank
you're
you.
Jewish, but you know, I'm not.
Well, there's that, and that's okay. It's an acceptable excuse. But, I mean, I was at a place up in, where was I? I was over in Savannah. Chocolate-covered bacon. Yes. Yes, indeed. It was chocolate-covered bacon. All right. So anyway, the bottom line is what I'm saying here is inflation is out of control. Accusations like these white supremacist accusations by liberals about folks just merely speaking on their kids' behalf. You've got situations like critical race theory being put into schools and then denied that it's there, and yet the teachers' union is advocating for it to continue openly. You've got vaccine mandates where the federal government is saying you need to fire your employees if they won't get vaccinated. You've got any number of things happening right now, like the southern border and the fact that we're not energy independent and the fact that our economy is not recovering the way it's supposed to and the fact that the pandemic has not been controlled well. And all of this is wrapping up to cause a complete unhinging of the Democrat Party because the top of the ticket is tanking in the polls right now, tanking. Do we have time? I think we have time. Let me go ahead. I'm going to do this. This had to have been hard for Jake Tapper on CNN, but Copper Clip 6, what do you think? Do we have time for that right now?
Sure.
I think we do. Let's do this. Play Clip 6, Jake Tapper on CNN talking about the painful admission by CNN that Biden's numbers are all-time low.
These new poll numbers, frankly, are brutal for the president. In this brand new Quinnipiac poll, only 38% of Americans approve of how Biden is handling his job compared to 53% who disapprove. That's the lowest approval rating Biden has had since taking office. Another striking number, only 39% of Americans approve of Biden's handling of the economy. 55% say they disapprove of the job he's doing on the economy. When asked, is Joe Biden an honest president? 44% of Americans say yes. 50%, a plurality, say no. And one of the most damning results of all, more than half of the American people, 55%, say the Biden administration is not competent in running the government. 42% says the administration is. These new poll numbers, frankly,
what he's about to say is, frankly, they're bad. They're awful. All right, so let me paint a picture for you on this, too. I mean, first of all, when 55% in a Quinnipiac poll. Now, Quinnipiac, they're a legit poll, all right? They are. But Quinnipiac is also the one, for instance, that said that Lindsey Graham was going to lose his last Senate race, and he won by 10 points. They predicted, I think, that Hillary Clinton was going to win by 7 points, and, of course, she lost. All I'm saying is Quinnipiac usually polls in a way that favors Democrats, and for them to come out with polls that show Biden so low in his numbers, the question then becomes, are they really even worse than what Quinnipiac said? Makes you wonder. But when I come back from this, we'll have some more analysis on what those poll numbers mean as we go forward because Democrats are coming completely unhinged. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Listen, I got to tell you real quick about my friends at eTaxBreaks.com. eTaxBreaks.com. What a cool business. So these folks, all they do, they exist for, is the sole reason they exist is to find your company money. You heard me. Find your company money. Money you didn't know it qualified for just because of the way you run your business. Like, who do you hire? Where do you put your business? Did you keep it open during the pandemic? Did your business survive a natural disaster? Yada, 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 yada. All these things are out there. And there's like 3,000 programs across the nation that qualify you for tax credits, tax incentives, grants, all kinds of things. And they only get paid if they find you money. eTaxBreaks.com. These are my friends. They got 23 years of experience. And I'm going to tell you right now, they've got a special landing page, by the way, just for Right Side listeners. Go to etaxbreaks.com/rightside. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. Reaction already coming in to the last segment that we're still in, by the way. Jim, a longtime listener, emails me on the mental health question about when Joyce Vance from the University of Alabama said on MSNBC that we're in a mental health situation right now. This is a national mental health situation. And he points out, he said, I can't wait for the liberals to appear in the next DSM, which I assume means the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. You didn't think I knew that, did you, Jim? So we can get all these people that live in bizarro land the treatment they need. And then he has an LOL, and I agree, LOL to that. Charlene just texted me, the lovely Charlene. She just texted me and reminded me that in terms of liberals getting out of control and forgetting their place is, you know, what's his name, Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor of Virginia again. He literally came out the other day and said that parents should not be having a say in what is done to educate their children. And that is such a load of hogwash. All right. So that stuff's happening out there. Just a minute ago, right before we went to the break, we went to a clip with Jake Tapper from CNN. Oh, it had to have been painful. Painful. They couldn't deny it anymore. I mean, one of those polling sources that they rely upon, the one that told them that Hillary Clinton was going to win, the one that told them that Lindsey Graham would lose. Quinnipiac came out and polled the Biden administration, and the polling numbers were abysmal. On a poll that usually favors Democrats, the polling numbers were still abysmal for the Biden administration, even to the extent that the last thing on the poll was that 55% of the nation, if the polls are accurate, 55% don't even believe the Biden administration is competent to run the country. Competent. They didn't even say, do you approve of this part or that part? They even went down to, in a broad sense, are they competent? No. Well, how's that going to affect things? So all you right-side ruffians out there that are wondering what 2022 is going to look like, keep in mind we got a long way to go. All right? We've got a long way to go. But if they keep on like they are, it's going to have an amazing impact, we really believe, on the 2022 elections. Copper, you got clip three? Yeah, I see you got it ready. All right, so Copper, clip three. Clip three is from The Five on Fox News. I played CNN. Now we're going to go fair and balanced and play Fox News. So clip three is The Five talking about how Biden's unpopularity may indeed help the GOP. Go ahead and play clip three.
While President Biden battles his own party to pass trillions in new spending, he may want to pay attention to this. A new poll shows voters prefer Republicans over Democrats in the midterms. It's a big warning sign of a red wave. And in a key bellwether race to be Virginia's next governor, Democrat Terry McAuliffe said Biden's unpopularity in that state could cost him his race. Love the phrase bellwether. I don't even know what it means. Jesse, but we always hear about like, oh, there's going to be a blue wave when the Republicans are in power. And now it's a red wave when the blues are in power. Is this different or is this the normal flip flop that happens when people are in and out of power?
I see red waves wherever I go. So yeah. I don't know if you want to go to me, but yeah, no, it does look like this is going to be a historically good year for Republicans in 2022. The Q poll just came out. It's a loaded poll for Democrats. They're usually off about 7 points. Very charitable to the left. Joe Biden is underwater in honesty, economy, COVID, taxes, border, immigration, military leadership, and competency. So Joe's going to be of no help to the Democrats in the midterms. And Trump's off the ballot, so the Democrats aren't really going to be super juiced to turn out. And the Democrats' line that they want to run on next year is a pandemic defeated and an economy renewed. Well, right now, we've already had more COVID deaths under Joe Biden than we've had under Donald Trump. And Democrats act like we're still in quarantine, like they're afraid to go to the grocery store. So I don't know how that's going to play. And the economy is riddled with inflation and labor shortages because of these Biden policies. So I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. I think the Republicans should do pretty well.
There you go. There's one analysis. That's one of many, but I tend to agree with that one. That's the reason why I got that clip is because I felt like it was a pretty adequate representation of what most people are saying about how the polling numbers could indeed impact the 2022 elections. Because what we're seeing right now is that the constant sense of overreach, the complete denigration of anybody who's not of the liberal persuasion, the idea that you don't rate and that the fact the states should just shut up and mind their own business and let the federal government do what it does. That our border is open, that our energy independence is gone, that our foreign policy is in tatters, that Afghanistan is still the greatest debacle of military and foreign policy wrapped together in decades. And that, you know, the economy right now is at 5.3% inflation, with things like bacon at 17%. Dad gum. Well, I'm just telling you right now, those poll numbers, I think they could be even worse than what Quinnipiac says they are. And it's, by the way, there are other polls that have been done. I've quoted a few of them on the show recently. This is an unraveling right now, an unraveling of the Democrat agenda. And it gets deeper because here's breaking news for you. So here it is, 3:42 p.m. on October the 7th, and I'm looking right now. This just popped up. So I think I told you earlier that Biden was headed to Chicago area. I'm going to be speaking about vaccinations. I'm looking at an article just come out on The Federalist. I mean, literally just came out probably in the last 10 minutes. Biden blames the unvaccinated for economy's problems. Yeah, and he goes on. It literally says, just in his speech today at Elk Grove Village, he says the unvaccinated put our economy at risk because people are reluctant to go out. Even in places where there's no restriction on going to restaurants and gyms and movie theaters, people are not going anywhere near the numbers because they're worried about getting sick. I got news. Have you looked at Bryant-Denny Stadium? Have you looked at Jordan-Hare? Have you looked at Church of the Highlands on a Sunday morning? Have you looked at Publix? Have you been to a Milo's? Have you been to Just Love Coffee on a Wednesday afternoon? I'm just telling you, people are going out. Have you been down the Parkway in Huntsville? Have you driven down I-65? Alabama's open for business, man. I'm just telling you, and they don't want you to know that. He went on, literally, it even points out on here. He's saying that the Biden administration is saying that the unvaccinated are the reason why. We got a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, in August, this article from The Federalist points out he raised federal salaries for roughly 2 million federal government employees while Americans were grappling with skyrocketing inflation and an economy struggling to bounce back from bloated spending bills. And the raises won't go into effect till January, but Biden still chose to make those raising of salaries a priority the day after a terrorist attack killed 13 American service members in Afghanistan. And that pay bump is following months of high inflation. I mean, it's like there's a complete, he wants to blame it on the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are not the issue. And by the way, you're making it worse when you start having businesses lay people off because they have not followed through with your vaccine mandates. So folks, those polls, I think those polls were accurate. And if they're not accurate, I think it's because they weren't low enough. And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, if you just polled Biden in Alabama, he'd be down in the single digits. But if you polled him across the nation, I still think you might find that he's a little bit lower. And the question that was answered to the extent on Quinnipiac that 55% of the nation finds him, his administration, to be incompetent to lead the nation. Not just do you like his foreign policy, not just do you like his pandemic policies. They find him in general to be incompetent to run the nation. That is big doings. Y'all, I'm going to go to a short break right now. I'm going to go ahead and take it now because when I come back, I'm going to spend a few extra minutes on some things that I've not had a chance to cover yet. Number three in the Triple Dipper. And then top of the hour, by the way, number three in the Triple Dipper is Show Me the Money. Show Me the Money. We're going to talk about money in D.C. and other places. And when we come back at top of the hour, got the Grand Council. Jeff Poore from 106.5 and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN joining us at the top of the hour for the Grand Council, one of my favorite segments of the entire week. We will be right back.
Here we go!
Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting the biggest show across North Alabama afternoons, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I said that we had my triple dipper for the day, right? The first thing we already did in the first hour, states are fighting back. States are fighting back against federal overreach, and they should. We need our states to be the firewall that they are designed by constitutional grounds to be. States are indeed fighting back. And Alabama has been in the mix on much of that. I was chagrined to see that Governor Ivey was not one of the governors who joined with Governor Abbott in Texas to say that the states will take care of the southern border if the government, if the federal government will not. Nonetheless, the state of Alabama has been in the mix on quite a few of these state pushbacks against things like vaccine mandates and against FBI investigating parents who were going to school board meetings and of course, the southern border, like I just said. But the next thing on the triple dipper was the fact that Democrats are unraveling. Polls are tanking. Liberal progressives are screaming at conservatives, calling everything that we do racist or part of white supremacy or the fact that, like the law professor Joyce Vance from University of Alabama said on MSNBC a couple days ago that apparently it's a mental health issue and we have a stigma. We're going to have to deal with some national reviews of mental health across the nation to get us back to a normative position. Shut up. But then the other thing we got now on the triple dipper, number three, show me the money. All right, there's been a whole lot of talk up in D.C., and we may not get all this for the top of the hour, but I'm going to cover down on some that you got to know. All right, so breaking news today, and I'm looking at one story right here off the Washington Examiner. Got it highlighted right here in my hot little right side hands. Senator McConnell has offered a short-term debt limit extension to the Senate Democrats. All right, backing up on this. I covered this last week. There is a thing called the debt limit. What is the debt limit? Basically, it's the amount that we are allowed to go into debt. In 1917, I believe it was, Congress enacted legislation that said that before the United States could incur debt, that it had to have approval of Congress. In other words, every time they need more money because they spent more than they have, which they do quite often, they have to have a vote of Congress. And the vote of Congress is to deal with the debt limit. Well, the debt limit right now we have a national debt of $28 trillion. And we're there because something in the neighborhood of 80 times since 1917, Congress has indeed agreed or voted to raise the debt limit. It's not good. It's like saying, you know, can you imagine if you and I just really wanted to buy that thing, you know, that new flat screen or that, you know, that new couch or that new something, I don't know, something, and we're going to put it on the credit card. But, you know, the credit card limit, yeah, kind of tapped out. We've been using it a lot lately. What else? I know. We'll just go ahead and call the bank and tell them to extend the credit limit on our credit card so we can buy that thing that we apparently don't have to have but we want. And that's what the federal government does regularly. Well, it's due to expire right now. So basically what happens is this. We have this debt. This debt is there to help service the commitments, if you will, that the United States has made. And the debt has to be serviced. In other words, you got to make a payment on the mortgage, if you know what I mean. You got to pay that credit card every month. And we're in the habit of paying what basically amounts to the minimum payment due, all right? And the interest continues to accrue. And all said and done, the debt limit has to be extended, they say, within the next week. Otherwise, we could begin defaulting on some of the debts. In other words, we need to borrow money to help pay down some of the money we've already borrowed. That's what it means. We have spent more than we have, and we need to borrow some money so that we can spend more and also help pay the debt on some of the things that we've already borrowed, some of the money we've already borrowed. Well, McConnell basically has been maneuvering right now and allowing the Democrats to wallow in their own problems. The Democrats want to spend $3.5 trillion on fluff. They want to spend another $1.3 trillion on alleged infrastructure. But then they also want to raise the debt limit so they can do even more. And folks, it's just not a good situation. And McConnell has been allowing them to wallow in it, even though I'm sure McConnell has voted to raise the debt limit himself multiple times. In this particular case, he said, you know what? You got enough votes, big boys. Y'all Democrats, go ahead and do that yourselves. Well, it came down to it, and McConnell has offered an olive branch as of today. That's my point today. McConnell has offered an olive branch. Breaking news today. What's today? Thursday? All right, late Wednesday, the story came out that McConnell was offering an olive branch to Senator Chuck Schumer, that he would agree to allow Republicans to move forward with a vote to extend the debt limit to maintain the debt limit for an extra month. All right, to allow spending to go on for an extra month beyond what was originally appropriated. What that basically means is we will continue to pay the bills because they can fire up the machines and print more money. I had kind of hoped to see what was going to happen coming down to the 11th hour. Here's the quote from McConnell, though. He says, the unified Democratic government had 2.5 months to address the debt limit through reconciliation. I'll talk about that in a minute. Instead, they drifted to the doorstep of yet another self-created Democrat crisis, whether through miscalculation or a deliberate effort to bully their own members into wrecking the Senate. Top Democrats have risked adding a default crisis to the inflation crisis, the border crisis, and the Afghanistan crisis that they have already created. Well, he's right. They did create all those things. They did. And it's a crying shame that we're going to offer them the olive branch of increasing the federal debt even more, or extending the debt limit into December. So we'll see how that goes. But when you look at what they're spending, is what's happening in the spending, I got to tell you, there's a by the way, Copper, I got a huge echo going right now. If you can flip whatever switch you got to flip. But there's a crazy thing happening right now. So down on the southern border, there's been a ton of stuff coming out about the way they are handling the construction of the border wall. Biden's ex-Border Patrol chief just did an interview with Brett Baer on Fox, and I'm reading about it in Blaze News right now. And while speaking on Fox with Brett Baer, Rodney Scott, the former Border Patrol chief, he pointed out that, they're not building the wall, but they're still paying out $5 million a day to contractors. And I'm sure because it probably had a contract provision written in that if the government shut down the project prior to completion, they had to continue to pay some form of liquidated damages, which means we're paying you a penalty for not following through, and here it is. $5 million a day to not build the wall. How do I get that job? 5 million tax dollars per day. Per day. To not build the wall on the southern border. Meanwhile, people are flooding across the Rio Grande. And that is just wrong. Those are your tax dollars, folks. And yet they want to raise the debt limit. And they want a $3.5 trillion fluff bill. In the meantime, they're spending $5 million a day on the border to do nothing. That is amazing. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with the Grand Council. I'm looking forward to it. Be right back.